Okay, so thank you. And first of all, I want to thank the organizers for inviting me here to this conference and for organizing such a great workshop here. My talk is on understanding the price dynamics of emission permits, and I will propose a model for multiple trading periods, which is joint work with a PhD student of mine. And as you see from the title, the focus is really the point that I want to make is what is different if we consider a multi-trading period model. And I think given that we have already heard a lot today and also yesterday on those cap and trade systems, I think I do not have to explain how the system really works because Max did a very good job in explaining all this. But still, I have the feeling that we do not really today understand how all those regulatory rules affect the price dynamics. And of course, this is very crucial to understand this price dynamics. If you want to price derivatives, of course, you have to know the price dynamics. For any sound risk management scheme, you need an understanding here. And also, if you think about energy-related investment strategies, so if you have a longer-term view here, you need a proper understanding of this dynamics. What I'm going to show today is a very simple dynamic model that takes into account the most important regulatory rules that we have in the EU ETS. That is, first of all, a sequence of consecutive trading periods. That is the most important issue in my model here today. Inter-period banking, no inter-period borrowing, penalty cost in the end, the rule of later delivery of lacking certificates, and we also consider a whole bunch of abatement measures that we allow in this model. I think I can really skip this. The only thing that is important that I want to stress again here is how did this market work in the beginning? We started with a phase from 2005 to 2007, the so-called trial period, where we had not the possibility of banking certificates in the next period that we are currently in. And we had this trading period break between this first and this current period. But meanwhile, the situation is such that everybody thinks of an ongoing sequence of trading periods. There is a third period that we expect to be from 2013 until 2020. And there are also plans from 2021 to 2028 and so on. And the system will going be in the following. There will be no inter-period borrowing, so I cannot use certificates that I get for, let's say, 2013 today, but there is inter-period banking allowed, okay? And what we also have, at least today, is some presumable figures about the allocation for the following periods. And, of course, a penalty for non-compliance, as was already discussed. Now, if you look at the theoretical models, at least the most models, I think, they consider the first trading period. So they consider a situation where we have only one trading period, but we are not really going to look what is happening after that. And at least when I was preparing this this talk here, I was aware of only two papers that really considered two periods, and Max already presented a little bit also a very recent model where he also considers more than one period. But I think there are not really many periods that many models that consider a sequence of consecutive trading periods. Moreover, if you look at the burgeoning empirical literature, they of course have to focus on the data they have, so they focus on the data from basically the trial period. And so we do not really know much about the dynamics and how maybe the system or the price dynamics look like if we go from one period to another period where we have this inter-period banking allowed, okay? So therefore, the agenda for my talk is the following. I start with a very, very simple conceptual framework that we designed in the beginning of this market in 2005, which is just a framework for one trading period. And then I'm going to extend this model to a multi-period model, and I'll present some first thoughts, some preliminary results, and basically I want to answer the following question: how do additional trading periods influence today's price and today's price dynamics? And maybe you can also answer the question, which part of today's price comes from which period in the future? And maybe also, which is important for option pricing, how does the volatility surface look like in this market? Okay, so let me start with the very simple conceptual framework. Consider we have one regulated company, we have a business as usual emission process, just here given by this stochastic process, this stochastic differential equation. So yt is just the emission rate, and now assume that the company has a target which is below the emission of the business as usual case. So what can the company do? Well, the company can abate, taking some abatement measures. We assume here that abatement of course causes costs, and as you see we assume just a simple quadratic cost curve, meaning linear increasing marginal cost. This is also a study Max already referred to from McKinsey and others who come up that at least for the overall situation this is a quite good approximation. And note that we define costs to be negative. This is important for the to understand why we max later on costs and not minimize costs. What can a company do in addition? Well, a company can trade in the market, so the company can buy and sell AUAs, and also the company could also decide just to pay the penalty for not complying in the end. So given all these strategies, what can we derive then? We can derive the total expected emission over the whole trading period from zero to capital T. Well, then we have, of course, given we are in point a small t, we have to take into account the abatement measures that have been already done. We have to take into account the result of the trading strategy up to the point t, and of course the overall expected emissions over the whole period. Okay, then this company gets some initial endowment of AUAs. I call this E0, and since we consider one final trading period in the beginning where no banking into the next period is allowed here, the firm has to pay penalty costs if the emissions XT in the end, so these are the overall realized emissions of the company, are higher than the initial allocation, and we assume just penalties of P for each unit that we are above. And then we can formulate the optimization problem the company faces. So what can the company do? The company can decide the abatement strategy, can decide a trading strategy, and so you see here the result from the, so these are just the abatement costs, the result from the trading, and of course the penalty costs in the end and everything discounted. And as you see, I assume more or less the same as before that we have just risk neutral firms here. But we could do the same very easily also for some utility function and some risk-averse companies. Of risk-free discounting. Yeah. Well, this is more or less the question: should I assume risk-neutral companies here or not? And if I assume risk-neutral companies here, so if I assume that are large companies that are diversified, this is of course pretty much okay. Otherwise, I would here use some utility function.
That's all I meant. Okay. What you should perhaps take into account, you're right about the risk-neutral discount, that it might cause problems in terms of operating the company. So there might be some greater risk of default.
Okay. Okay, I completely, I do not really model the operating of the company here, so this is completely more or less out of my model. So. Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course, it's good. Okay, so now assume we have a market consisting of N companies, and then I define the market equilibrium, which is nothing else than the abatement strategies of each of those N companies. You IT Star, the trading strategies for all those companies, the spot price in equilibrium, and of course they all have to solve the individual cost problems that are formulated, and they have to solve the market clearing condition, that is, that the overall demand for credit is just zero in equilibrium. Well, what can we do then? Well, it follows directly from the first order condition, obviously, that the spot price has to be just marginal abatement cost. So this is basically the overall story in this whole emission trading scheme. This is the result here in such a situation. And we can also show that under certain conditions, this equilibrium solution is equivalent to the least cost solution if we have a social central planner. And if this is the case, we can use the optimality principle from stochastic optimal control, just stated here, to derive a characteristic PDE. And if you look at this, you see that I have here only the abatement strategy, but not the trading strategy, because this is irrelevant if we aggregate and we consider the optimal planner here. So what can we learn from this? Given that we have our characteristic PDE, we can easily show that the resulting spot prices have to be non-negative, that discounted spot price is a martingale, regardless of the stochastic process that we use for the emission rate, which means that in particular we have no mean reversion here, obviously, and this just simply follows from the storability of our AUAs and that we assume here risk-neutral agents, and we can also solve this problem given a specific assumption, analytically given a specific assumption for the emission rate. If we just assume a white noise process, we can really analytically solve the problem. Otherwise, we have to use numerical methods here. Okay, so just to illustrate what comes out of this model, I will present you some graphs in the following, and all those graphs are based on the parameters that I've listed here, and these parameters are just chosen to remind at least a little bit on the stylized facts that we had in the system when we started. So first we have a length of the trading period of 3. This is just our 3-year period from 2005 to 2007. We assume an initial endowment of 6,000 certificates. This reminds us to the overall allocation that we had in the system of about 6 billion tons. And we assume penalties, as you see, of 70. Why 70? Well, we have a penalty in this first period of 40 plus the later delivery rule. And then we say, OK, let's take 70 as the penalty here. Moreover, we assume that the expected total emissions are slightly above the endowment, and if you think for a moment of a situation where we don't have any risk and the interest rate is zero, so what should the companies do? Well, they should abate 240 over 3 years. That means 80 per year, and given the marginal abatement cost that I have chosen here of 0.24, this leads us roughly to a price of 19 euro, and this was something that was roughly in the middle that we have seen in the year 2006. So this is why we have chosen figures in that way. But, well, we could have chosen any other figures. The graphs would not really be very different. So what do you see here? You see here in the first graph the spot price function as a function of the total expected emissions over the whole period. And in this direction, you have the time. That means in front, you see the year, let's say, 2005. And up to the end, you are on the end of the trading period, that is 2007, okay? And first of all, what you see is you have a fixed upper bound, just determined by the penalty cost. We also see a lower bound of zero. However, it is easy to show that our prices never reach zero. This is just because of the option value that we have. There is always a chance that we end up in a situation where you have to pay penalties, and then Therefore, we get a value that is not exactly zero. And in the end, at capital T, there are only two prices possible, either zero or the penalty. This is what we typically assume here. And you also see that this graph gets in the middle steeper and steeper towards the end, where we then have this binary distribution. And if you look on the volatility surface, so this is the implied volatility that we could back out from this model, just as a function again of calendar time and the spot price, you see obviously we have highest volatility in the middle range. Volatility goes to infinity the closer we come to the end of the trading period, because we have no time left to make many abatement stories, and volatility goes to zero once we are reaching the price bounds. So there is no vol Q in this. Well, this is just not the volatility of options as a function, let's say, of a strike or something like that. This is just local volatility. If we write down the dynamics of the spot price and we look just at the local volatility, how should this behave given this model? This is the only thing we do here. Okay? And as I said, we came up with this model just in the starting phase of the AUA. And of course, if you look then later on what happened in the market, you see this is at least quite consistent with what we have seen. We have seen high volatility in a situation where we have a middle price range, and prices went down all the way to zero once we reach this lower bound. So this is at least in principle roughly consistent with what we see. Okay, now my question is, given all these implications that we can deduce from this very simple model, that we have discounted spot prices that are martingales, that means we have no deterministic or seasonal components that should show up in our prices, given that we have a fixed upper bound, given that our volatility surface is as I showed, do these characteristics carry over to a setting with more than one trading period? And this is what I want to discuss in the following. So what are the changes that we should consider? The most important change is that going from the first situation to the current situation, banking is now allowed into the next period. All the rest is more or less the same. Borrowing is still not allowed. Penalty cost has been increased from 40 to 100, and the later delivery rule still holds. So what are we doing? Well, this first graph is just the situation I presented you. We had only one trading period, this period S1, and we assume more or less that at the end of the trading period, our certificates are just worthless. I cannot use them anymore, okay? So therefore, I have an S end of zero, let's call this. And now we consider a situation where we have not only one trading period, but several, let's say N trading period, S1, S2, S3. And we assume that whenever we have at the end, after the last trading period that we are considering, whenever we have certificates left over, we can sell, or when we need some certificates, we can sell or buy them at the market at some finite price, and I call this price just Sn. Okay? So how does this change the optimization problem that we have to consider? Well, in fact, everything is more or less the same. We have still to find our abatement strategy. We have still to find our trading strategy. These are the abatement costs. This is the result of the trading. What is different is now that we potentially have to pay penalties at the end of each phase. So we have here a sum of all those penalty costs that could occur given that we are above the target. And in addition, since I say, okay, the AUA has a value also in the end, I have this value in the end, so this is just the number of leftover certificates evaluated by SN, and this is already discounted for today. Yeah.
What about the allowances?
What about the allowances?
Like even SN0?
No, they are not given at time zero. They are given at each period separately. I've shown a moment what we assume. We assume for the moment, or we just take the presumable figures that are around in the market. So in the moment, I assume that they are known. Okay. Sn is just a fixed finite value, and we analyze this model by just trying to understand how important is Sn, has this really an important effect for today or not. Well, we could assume this to be random. I think this would not really change things because of this. So we have really now a very long period that we are considering. I come to this in a moment. We are talking about, let's say, 20, 30 years or so. And through this counting, I think this is not this. We could do this easily, but I think this is not really the most important issue. Okay, so how can we solve the model? Well, in principle, we apply the same story as before, just in a backward manner. We are solving this for the last period and go step by step, using again Bellman's principle, Itô's lemma for each finite period, and then we can try to solve this problem here. So to show you again what is coming out from this model, I again give you the parameters just for the graphs, although again, I think they are not, you should not take those parameters too literally, it's just to plug in some numbers. What we are looking at in the following is up to 4 consecutive trading periods. So we consider a situation where we have only 1 trading period, 2, 3, or 4, and we just compare all these situations. We assume the first trading period to be 5 years, so this is just a period from 2008 to 2012. And all following periods, 8 years, this is what is just discussed, okay? And we assume, so this is again to your question, we assume that we know the allocation, and you see how we have chosen the allocation. So here we have just taken the presumable figures from the European Parliament and Councilor to come. And if you look at this, you see that for the phase one, we have 10.4 billion. Then this number goes up, but this goes up only because we have now an 8-year period. In fact, it goes down, what you also see then for phase 4, phase 5. We assume penalty cost to be 100 in each period, and we just take in this situation Sn to be 45, given that we have 4 periods and discounted value of 45 if we have only 3 or 1 period. And what I'm considering the following is, again, the spot price for the first trading period, so in this case for the period from 2008 to 2012. And of course we can ask again the questions, what about the price bounds, what about the volatility surface, and so on. And do we expect maybe a smoother transition from one period to another through due to this banking story? Oh, yeah.
What is it that you're trading? Are you trading simultaneously several forward contracts? Are you trading only one spot price? Because in the formula, it's just S of T, Z of T.
Yeah, and in the moment, we are trading only spot. But I think forwards would not change the story because they should be in zero net supply. So in the overall situation, this has no effect on the result.
So this is an assumption. This is an outcome of the analysis.
I don't. Well, yeah, of course. Given that forwards are in zero net supply, I could put forwards in, but they would not change the results. So therefore, I directly decided to leave forwards out. I'm looking at the global market here. This is again the overall equilibrium that we are looking at. So this I presented for one company, and then we had N company, we aggregated everything, and we are looking again from the global perspective. Therefore, I would say for the overall result, for the spot price dynamics, forward trading should not have any effect.
So in the first period, you can have a portfolio of the contracts, forward contracts of year 2 and 3, and you treat them as if that was just a set of,
Yes, I've chosen the one-factor model here again, because everything is again driven by one Brownian motion here. So this is the same assumption we discussed yesterday. Okay, so what do we get? This graph again shows you the spot price function as a function of total expected emissions for the first trading period. And again, you have here the time, and which is now starting in 2008, let's say, until the end 2012. Okay? And now you see four different planes here in this graph. The lowest plane is the result that we have just seen before. This is the situation when we have only one trading period that we are considering. The second lowest plane is then a situation when we have two trading periods that we are considering, and so on. So the last plane is a situation when we have four trading periods. So what can we see here first, and this is obvious, of course, each additional trading period increases today's value, because I have the possibility to use this AUA also in a later period. So that means each additional period means an additional risk that I have to pay a penalty, and this leads to an increase in value. What you also see is that the upper price bound obviously now depends on the number of trading periods that we are considering. This is quite clear, and we can, of course, very easily, without any model, come up to these upper price bounds. What are they? Well, consider again the situation when we have only one trading period. What is the upper price bound? Well, this is the penalty cost plus the value of the lacking certificates, just discounted. Given we have that we have now N trading period, what can we see here? Well, the upper price bound is obviously then the discounted value of all those penalties that we have to pay, plus this value as N discounted for today. And this is also the lowest upper price bound we can reach. Why? Well, consider a situation when we have very high expected emissions, then we have to pay the penalties today, and for due to the later delivery rule, I have also to pay the penalties in the future, and so on. And obviously, the lower price bound is very easy. I can always at least reach the value as N discounted. Okay, now let's have a look at the same graph that I've shown you already before, but now just from the back. So this is the same graph, but now in front is the year 2012, so that is the end of the trading period. So what we can see here, we still have two regions as a function of total expected emissions. Either we are in a region where we don't have to pay the penalties now, or we are in a region where we have to pay the penalties. But of course, now we do not have only two values, but a whole range of values that can occur in principle. But still, we see that the closer we come to the end of the trading period, the steepness goes up still, and so we have still this discontinuity at the end of the trading period. Of course, given what I have shown you here are only the prices that can occur, but I have not shown you the probabilities that those prices will occur. This is what I am showing you in the next graph. So we here just simulated scenarios and calculated the distribution then of the spot prices that are coming out of our model. You start in the beginning, let's say, with some bell-shaped curve, and given that you have a scenario of only one trading period, in the end only two prices are possible, so you end up just with this distribution. Either you pay the penalty, this is in the situation 100 plus the discounted value of Sn, or you don't pay the penalty, then you have the discounted value of Sn. So this is the situation one trading period, and now consider the situation we have four trading periods. You again start with some bell-shaped curve in the beginning, and in the end you still have here some kind of bell shapes, where you have a whole range of prices that are possible, at least in principle. And finally, so you see the situation gets much smoother than before. And this is also what you see here from this graph. This graph shows you, again, local volatility as a function now of relative spot prices. We just normalize it by the difference between max and min that we can reach to make different scenarios comparable. And you see that, obviously, the highest volatility is still at medium prices, but now, given that we have more trading periods, this surface is much flatter in the end, so it does not go to infinity as before.
I guess I don't understand how you find the local volatility. So what is the relation there?
Well, how we find the local volatility, well, we have, given our model, we can just derive the dynamics of the spot price using Ito's lemma. And
but that's just the martingale, as you said, right?
Yeah.
So it can have any volatility structure. How do you know it's a sigma of P and
F? Yeah, well, of course, we have here some specific assumption about the emission process that we are using. Okay, so and given we know the emission rate, and we specify the dynamics of the emission rate, we can specify also the dynamics of the resulting spot price.
Right. So do I have a formula for what the volatility is? But then I was wondering, maybe I have to read the paper, but you're saying that after all this complicated optimization, the F comes out with a specific formula for its volatility. I'm just surprised.
Yeah, the H to the equation is a specific form.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, yes.
Can I follow up on that? How do you know that the price converges to S energy?
How we know that prices converge to SN? Well, we do not really know that the price converges as SN, but the only thing is that we say we can at the end buy or sell any certificates for SN. And the question is, what is immediately before SN? So your question is whether we have, let's say, some discontinuity over time. Let me think for a moment. Yeah, exactly. So there cannot be another solution for that.
If this volatility of the emission is bounded below, you can use some sort of Gersanov to ensure that the emission has a continuous, absolutely continuous distribution at the end, and so indeed there is no problem. However, if this thing could vanish, if this volatility could vanish, and we have some example now where we construct it by hand, and we can prove that you may have a similarity. In other words, the price is not necessarily a binary at the end, and you can have any values between 0 and 1. So this is a little bit kind of strange, but under the assumption that the emission has this noise term bounded below in volatility, you can, through the Sanoff argument, show that that cannot happen, that the emission are exactly equal to K or whatever the cap. It's an event of volatility.
So this price could be something in the combination of the model that anchors it or relates.
That's what you showed before. In one phase theory, that's exactly what is happening.
Yeah, I think you mean, let me try to paraphrase what you're talking about right or wrong. If I move the number of periods.
Could you speak up a little bit louder?
If I move the number of periods, the number of the trading machines out where you have 1,000 of them, and you run your back clock, I think, after 10 years of computation, and you stop, 30 periods out, you would have a value surface there that could be interpreted as like an equilibrium graph or an appropriate stationary one that wouldn't be possible with all the possible state variables. So if I interpret what you get correctly, the S is merely the
Perfect. That's exactly the point.
Totally fine, but at some point when you're actually in the simulation, you have to put something at the end that you don't know what it is. Think about going 1,000 periods back and then asking what was the value curve 100 years out, and that would be a non-trivial one. That's an economically logical one.
That's completely correct.
But you could just as easily start from a distribution at the end.
Exactly. So that was what I meant before, that this stuff really not matter what we're doing here. Of course.
So these models are going to suffer from the fact that suddenly there's a political decision to put the cap at this level. So it's just going to distort
Of course. Okay, so in order to make sure that I do not run out of time, let me just come to my last point that I want to make. I want a little bit trying to discuss which part of today's price can be attributed to the next or the over next and so on period. And what we did here is we took, let's say, some scenarios, some emission scenarios, and I call them medium, high, and low scenario. A medium scenario means that the expected emissions over today's period, the first period, let's say, is slightly above the target. So this is the standard situation when you design such a system. We define here just to come up with some numbers, the high emission scenario is a situation where we have 15% higher expected emissions, and the low emission scenario just in the other direction, 50% lower expected emissions. And we have this for today, that is for the current period, and for the future period, what you see here in the second line. Okay? So in the starting situation, when we are designing such a system, we would say maybe we are in a medium scenario today and in the future. So this is how the caps are maybe given by the authority. And what we can learn then here is that the biggest part obviously then comes from the current situation. So three-fourths of the value comes from the first period, and then it really declines the further we are away from the current situation. Okay? And well, why is this the case? Well, there are more or less two effects. The one is a discounting effect again, because I have those later payments discounted away for today. And also, since I have a longer time period, I can use more extensively my reduction processes. The situation is at least in principle the same if we are in a high emission scenario today and in the future. Here only more or less the discounting effect is the one that is relevant here. But the situation could be completely different if we are maybe in a situation such that we are maybe in today. So why do we have today, given a situation where we have the feeling that again, this market seems to be long due to the prices in the downturn, that we have a low expected emission scenario. Why do we have still a price of, let's say, 13 euros for one certificate? And maybe we could answer this given this analysis. Here we see there is almost no contribution from the current period, but the contribution comes from potential future period, and could be even that we have the completely reverse situation, that the further we are away, the higher is the value component. So overall, we can at least say that a substantial part of the spot price could be, given the scenario we are in, coming from future trading periods. And maybe one could use something like this also to do some hedging analysis to understand the effects that are coming from future periods here. Okay, so let me just conclude. What we have seen is that each additional trading period leads to an additional possible use of the certificate because I have this banking possibility. This leads to an additional value component in today's spot price. And we have also seen that the relative share of today's spot price depends on current and future expected emissions. We have seen that the price bounds naturally depend on the number of trading periods that we are considering. And we have also seen that the spot prices do not decline to zero even in the end of a period due to the later periods that are going to come. What we have also seen is that we have a more moderate dynamic, so the volatility surface looks more moderate. This comes also from this banking, but overall the characteristics are quite similar concerning the rest of the situation to the one period setting. Okay, so that's all from my side. Thank you.